First, it's been a pretty warm summer across Wisconsin, and it looks like much of the state will be in for another heat wave this weekend. Normally, it would be a great time for an evening get-together in the backyard with good food, great company, and refreshing drinks. Maybe a gin and tonic, a margarita, a daiquiri, or even something zero-proof, complete with fresh fruits like strawberries, watermelons, or pineapple. While the coronavirus is preventing us from having those big parties, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy a nice drink or raise a glass with friends. So in this week's Food Friday, we're going to talk about how to master those summer cocktails, or at least up our beverage game. M. Carrie Allen is a freelance writer whose spirits column appears in the Washington Post. Carrie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's a really fun topic, and it's a great time to talk about it. For a lot of reasons. You got rather philosophical in your most recent column about summer drinks. I think we've all had those moments. Talk a little bit about how the summer of 2020 is giving you pause about lighthearted summer tippling, as you put it.
Yeah, I think that probably everybody who writes about cocktails and is having this experience right now where, you know, normally this is the season for particular drinks, you know, highballs and writing about tropical drinks because, you know, we're on vacation and we're on the beaches and we're having a fantastic time. But that was the before times. And so because of the pandemic, but also I think because of what's been going on across the country in terms of the work for racial justice that's happening in our cities, I think it's just a strange time to be writing about a topic that usually I prefer to treat more lightheartedly. You know, I really do enjoy making cocktails, drinking cocktails, spending time with friends, but there's so much about this particular summer that feels very strange, very loaded, and like you have to think about things a little bit more seriously than I normally would think about drinks.
Well, you just listed some of the big reasons. You know, we've got a pandemic, violence, protests, the presidential election coming up, not to mention the murder hornets. Remember them?
Hornets, yeah. Probably we'll be using those as garnishes on drinks soon.
You know, not necessarily like the idea like, oh, I need a drink because things are so hard. But, you know, there is something really, I think, refreshing in all senses of the word about sitting down with a nicely crafted beverage. Doesn't have to be alcoholic, but a nicely crafted beverage that feels like a treat. I think we all really need a little bit of a treat right now.
I think that's so true. And I do think that I'm really glad that you said that it doesn't have to be alcoholic because I think, you know, especially right now, things are really hard. They're really tough and the isolation can get to you. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, you know, the borderline between work and home has become real fuzzy. You know, just the kind of stress that people are under just emotionally and physically from what's going on, I think is real high. And so I think that the urge to have a drink can sometimes be perfectly healthy and sometimes you have to be, you know, be a little bit careful about it. So I'm glad that we have an increasing access to really good non-alcoholic beverages too.
Well, let's talk about some of those summer drinks. We've got a good chunk of summer left to go. What is it that makes a good summer drink a good summer drink? What is it that hot, humid weather, we crave certain types of beverages?
I think there's a number of things. You know, I think one thing, you know, not necessarily always no alcohol, but I think people tend to go lower alcohol in the summer. I also think bubbliness is something, you know, I always find myself going for gin and tonics and something with a little bit of soda. I think sort of they tend to be known as white spirits, the things, the gins, the vodkas, the light rums. Or something that they tend to sort of skew that way rather than sort of heavier whiskey or scotches. Although I gotta say, you know, I do like a good reposado tequila at this time of year. So there are always, you know, exceptions that prove the rule. And then, you know, like there's so much good summer fruit that's available to use in cocktails this time of year. I mean, there's just beautiful stuff out there that can really enhance the flavor of the spirits you're using.
I will tell you that one of my absolute favorites is a mojito, and I grow a bunch of mint. Not that it's that hard because it tends to take over wherever you put it, but I buy limes. I grow a bunch of mint. I actually have to watch how much sugar I take in my diet. And so I actually make stevia sweetened mojitos. And to give it a little extra boost on the lime, I also use lime bubbly water, fizzy water.
That's great.
And it is so refreshing. And I have to say, none of this like one or two mint leaves for me. I pack it in there and, you know, half lime.
Why not?
I mean, like really amp the flavors up. And I think there is, you said bubbles, that's in there. The mint gives it that nice, you know, kind of clean edge to it, and the citrus. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, and rum, but actually I'll say at least half the time I make a virgin version of it, and it's just as refreshing. To me, that is like summer cocktail extraordinaire.
Absolutely. I was actually just making a virgin mojito for my other job. You know, we're doing a conference right now and we were prepping some cocktails for attendees that we're going to do, have them make for themselves in their virtual space. And one of the things that I did was a lime and mint bubbly thing that is really, it's kind of a mojito. And especially, you know, what you said about, you know, packing it with mint, totally. And especially if you are growing it in your garden, because as you said, mint goes crazy. And what else are you going to do with it?
Exactly.
There's so much in it. Yeah.
We're talking with M. Carrie Allen right now. She's a freelance writer whose spirits column appears in the Washington Post. And we are talking about refreshing summer drinks, some with alcohol, some without. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your favorites or with any questions for Carrie. Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty here and let's talk about some of these drinks that you have recipes for. And I have to say, this one, just reading the words makes my mouth water. Spicy watermelon margarita. You can find those and the other drinks we're going to talk about at WPR.org/Food Friday. Walk us through the general idea of what that's like and why it works so well.
So I don't know about you, but for me, summer is not summer unless I can have some watermelon. I cannot stop eating the stuff. If I bring a watermelon into the house, and I'm not even talking about one of those baby, quote, personal
size watermelons.
I'm talking about, like, it's possible that I would eat an entire full-size watermelon if I didn't pull myself away from it, because, oh my gosh, it's just the crispness, the juiciness. Oh my gosh, it's just, and it's beautiful to look at.
Yes.
So I really love watermelon in summer cocktails, and there's something about it that just goes beautifully with not only agave spirits, but with heat. Like that little bit of chili pepper and lime is just a really nice accompaniment there. So that's one of the things that I was looking to do there, because, you know, one of the things you always want to think about with a good drink is balance. And so watermelon, while being, as I mentioned, just absolutely beautiful, if you go, you know, if you add too much, you know, simple syrup to a drink like that, you're going to get this sugar bomb, and you don't really want that. I mean, I don't like, I like something that's a little bit more complex. And for me, the addition of, there's this beautiful spice you can get at a lot of Hispanic grocery store called Tajine. It's a combination of lime peel and salt and chilies. And I use that on the rim of the drink, which is, it's just a little bit of an upgrade to the salt that you often put on a mm-hmm. margarita. And it's just a beautiful complement to those flavors.
So that is the spicy watermelon margarita. Again, I totally agree with you. And I have to say, for the first year, you know, a lot of us are doing this COVID gardening because we have so much more time.
Exactly.
I actually have watermelons growing in the garden for the first time. So
don't invite me over.
I won't tell you where they are.
Please don't.
So you wrote a piece earlier this year about how we are likely or ready to have everything we need at home to make a good drink. This is especially important, as you pointed out, because a lot of us are making fewer trips to the grocery store. We're trying to, you know, buy things that might do double, triple, quadruple duty in the kitchen. And they might not be the ingredients that you will see in a lot of beverage recipes, but they work. I especially like the idea of using jams and jellies and preserves in drinks. Talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I always manage to have, you know, several sort of aging jars of preserves that I used for one breakfast like a year ago, and then I sort of forgot about. But they can be absolutely delicious in summer drinks. I mean, the thing you have to be careful with using them is that you really wouldn't need to shake a drink that you're using preserves in, because basically they've got all these pectins that otherwise it's a little bit off-putting if you don't shake it and strain it, because then you get this sort of like jelly wad that sort of ends up in your cocktail. But if you basically make, you know, I mean, for example, you can do like a daiquiri variation where you add like a new flavor. You know, you could use the lime, you could use the lemon, but then you can add, you know, some peach preserves, apricot preserves, strawberry. One of the things I personally love is strawberry with the Italian liqueur Campari, which is red, bittersweet drink. That it's a spirit that's often used to make Negronis. That's the thing it's probably most well known for. But strawberries and Campari are just a match made in heaven. And you can put some strawberry preserves in with some Campari and shake that up, and then add a little soda, and you've got a beautiful highball for the summer.
That sounds delicious. It's Food Friday. We're talking about how to make a great summer drink with M. Carrie Allen. She's a freelance writer whose spirits column appears in the Washington Post. We've linked to a couple of her columns that include drink recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. Some of the ones you can find there, spicy watermelon margarita that we talked about, a golden daiquiri, and a garden Pimm's cup. And if you're looking for something non-alcoholic, this one sounds amazing, a cherry vamp. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite beverage on a hot, humid day or night? Got a twist on a classic cocktail that you'd like to share? How about a non-alcoholic drink? What questions do you have about a particular concoction or an ingredient that you'd like to work into your beverage game? Maybe you're looking for tips on how to perfect your cocktails. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation here in just a bit. Stay with us on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, it's Food Friday. We're continuing our conversation about summer drinks, both alcoholic and non, with M. Carrie Allen. She's a freelance writer whose spirits column appears in the Washington Post. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your go-to summer cocktail? Is it something kind of fancy, or do you just care if it's cold? What do you like to whip up to impress your company on the back patio or over a Zoom happy hour? Do you take part in any sort of virtual happy hours? And is there a drink you just can't seem to get right? What tips or tricks can you share on making the perfect summer cocktail? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Carrie, that is one thing that is a new circumstance that we're all living through is, for the most part, we really can't get together with people as easily or safely as we used to be. And a lot of people are turning to different video conferencing softwares to be able to do that. Have you done any of those yourself?
I have. I have to admit, you know, they are what we have now. And I have been really appreciative of them because it's the way we've gotten to see some really good friends that we're really missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some colleagues from work who I usually go out and get a beer with at least once every other week. And so we've been able to do that. I do think, I suspect that many people who are working at least office jobs remotely are real sick of Zoom at this point. So I get to the end of a day after 8 hours on Zoom and it's just like, yeah, I'm not doing a virtual happy hour right now, but on the days that I can manage to keep my Zoom to maybe 6 hours, sure, I love a virtual happy hour. It's great.
We've also invited friends over to sit in our driveway, 6 feet apart at least. Yep. And, you know, they bring their own beverages. We have our own. They bring their own snacks. We have our own. And it's, you know, it's still a little strange, especially when you're sitting in the driveway waiting for them to come and it looks like you're just sitting in your driveway. But, you know, there is something about the companionship that really makes those beverages, absolutely, whatever they are, a little more special and a little more fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think I was writing about in that summer column is that, you know, the reason I really like making drinks, I mean, I like the way they taste, of course, but I really make drinks to make other people happy. And so, you know, making drinks in a summer where we are seeing less and less of other people and you see them from a distance and you sort of make those big, like, crab claw air hugs across the room, it just feels real strange. You know, I still enjoy it, and it's still nice to be able to see people from a distance, but it is a whole new season for making drinks and motivations for making drinks.
It's Food Friday. We're talking with M. Carrie Allen about making summer beverages. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And let's go to the phones. And Tammy in Mason is up first. Hi, Tammy.
Yes, I got a really good summer drink.
All right.
It's very healthy, and it can be adult.
Okay.
It's called banana strawberry shake.
Mm.
And instead of a lot of ice cubes, you know those popsicle sticks things that they got?
Mm-hmm.
Non-sugar. Put that in there. Put it in your blender. Everybody loves it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And are there other flavorings? I'm seeing here a note about mint. Is that another way to use up our mint?
If you want, yeah, you could put a mint leaf in it when you're blending it, and it gives you a little tang to it.
And
I love
adults,
that idea.
You can do like a half a shot of vodka or whatever for adults.
That sounds delicious.
That does sound delicious.
Thanks for that call,
Tammy. I've occasionally done popsicles, and you don't even have to blend them, because one of the things I have found you can do with at least the skinny popsicles is you can use them to stir your tall cocktail. And
ooh,
gradually they just sort of melt into the drink. And so you have one drink at the beginning of the drink, and as the popsicle melts, you have a different drink at the end.
Ooh, that's a great idea too. Well, thanks for that call, Tammy. Let's go next to Janet, who is calling us from Sparta. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that last year I started to infuse my own gin with cranberries and made a beautiful gin and tonic with that. And this year we had so much rhubarb, so I made my own rhubarb-infused gin. And we made G&Ts out of that, and that's just delicious, and it's a beautiful cocktail as well.
Wow, that sounds delicious. And just like Carrie was saying, it's got some of that that sharpness with the rhubarb and the cranberries,
mm-hmm.
you know, to kind of keep an edge to it. Does that sound like something you'd enjoy, Carrie?
Oh, yeah, that sounds delicious. I love that idea, especially because, you know, that's one of those cocktails. One of the things I always love doing is you take a classic. I mean, I think one of the things that I both, you know, love and kind of find funny about modern cocktails is some of them have gotten so complicated.
Yes.
You know, you get these 14 ingredient cocktails at bars, and, you know, I miss bars, honestly. I would love a 14 ingredient cocktail at a bar right now. But at home, you know, I don't usually tend to make a 14 ingredient
yes.
cocktail. And so something where you can just take a classic and dress it up with a few extra things is always great.
I think it's when we stopped talking about bartending and started talking about mixology that the 14 ingredient things
right.
came into play.
Yes,
thanks for that call,
yes.
Janet. Let's go back to the phones. Kevin in Rochester, Minnesota is up. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, let's stay with gin too. Other All right. than tonic water.
All right.
What can I make with my Hendrix?
Oh, you know, there's a summer drink. I'm so glad you brought up Hendrix, because there's one of my favorite summer drinks is a drink called a porch swing. And basically it's got a liqueur that's usually pretty easy to find called Pimm's Number One that the English use for a really famous summer drink called the Pimm's Cup. But the porch swing is basically a fair amount of Pimm's and a fair amount of lemonade. And then you take some fresh cucumber and you slice it up. And of course that highlights the cucumber note in the Hendrix gin, which one of the things that Hendrix is really famous for is being a gin that tastes sort of like cucumber and roses. But I usually make that, you know, in a normal summer where I'm actually seeing other people, I'll make a big, big bowl of it, and it tends to just disappear.
Hmm. I have to say, I'm not a huge gin drinker. Is there something I'm missing? Is there a way that maybe I would enjoy it more than the ways I've had it?
So what kind of things do you tend to, when you've tried it before? I mean,
it's been a long time.
Same way.
Yeah, it tastes very soapy to me. So I wonder if it's even like a biological thing.
Oh, yeah, it could be like cilantro. Like
exactly.
Like certain, yeah,
I love cilantro.
Totally.
So maybe I just have to stick with my rum and other things. I do want to stop on that issue of Pimm's, because I think Pimm's and you talk about using bitters, actually quite a bit different types of bitters, especially in the non-alcoholic drinks. think about fruity stuff in the summer, but there's also something about that very grassy and kind of vegetal flavor mm-hmm. that really works
absolutely.
Too. And that's what I think of when I think of Pimm's.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's that sort of those tea notes, those tannic notes from Pimm's, which is, you know, and yet another thing that makes you think of England, of course. But yeah, and in combination with the other vegetal thing in the porch swing, which is cucumber, it's a really, really nice combination.
Let's go back to the phones, and Nancy in Menominee is up. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Nice to be talking about drinks on a nice warm day.
Exactly.
While I was waiting, I didn't have a name for this drink, but the producer asked me the name of it. And while I was waiting, I came up with a name, and I'll just call it the 1-2-3-4 because that's what the ingredients are. The you know, where you wanted to go and have a 13-ingredient drink at a bar, this is just four ingredients, and it's one jigger of Rose's lime juice, two jiggers of triple sec, three jiggers of coconut rum, and four jiggers of pineapple juice. And then you put it in your shaker, shake it on ice, and we drink it in beautiful martini glasses, sort of designer martini glasses. And it's lovely in the summer. It's cold, it's fresh, it's crisp, and it's sweet, and it's tropical, and it's all those things.
So it sounds like a lighter version of a piña colada, but with that orange also from
well,
the triple sec.
Yeah.
But triple sec,
oh,
right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That sounds really tasty. Have you ever had anything similar to that, Carrie?
I mean, it reminds me of a lot of the sort of tiki sort of drinks where you're layering not only fruit juices with different rums on top of each other. And I can certainly see the appeal of a drink like that, especially right now, because, you know, this is a time of year where a lot of us should be drinking like those drinks next to pretty beaches and on islands. And instead we're locked in our homes. And so I can definitely see the appeal of a drink that makes you feel like you're next to the water somewhere.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. And I have to say, I'm going to try several of those recipes that you suggested. Will you come back? There's obviously a lot of interest in fun summer drinks.
I would love to. Thanks
for
having me. All
right. We'll make it a date. Not on Zoom, but we'll make it a date. M. Carrie Allen is a freelance writer whose spirits column appears in the Washington Post. We talked with her about what makes a great summer cocktail. And we've linked to two of her columns that include drink recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. You can try out several of those. If you've got a recipe or tip that you'd like to share, you can post that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.